Moncrief on News Talk.
Lexi Alexander is a German-Palestinian woman who lives in Cork, but she's had a bit of a journey to get there via karate, kickboxing, being a stunt woman, being nominated for an Oscar, and then into making films herself. Her latest movie is called Absolute Dominion. It's being released today. Afternoon, Lexi.
Hello, thanks for calling me.
Could you start by telling us a bit about growing up in Germany as the daughter of a German, but also of a Palestinian? Was that difficult for you at times?
Yeah, it was really difficult because at the time, that was the 70s and the 80s, there was not a single other Arab kid in town. I know it seems strange now because since then there have been a lot of refugees. But the only kids I could somewhat relate to were the Turkish, my Turkish friends. And, you know, it's not easy in Germany to be the other.
Yeah. And when you were an adult, did you find that attitude was still there?
Well, I left pretty early. I mean, I think I left, I had just turned 18 and I left to the US. I don't think I would have ever stayed there. I find it tough. And as a Palestinian, it has even become tougher now.
So when you moved to the US, what was your plan initially? Obviously, you were trained in karate. Did kickboxing come out of that?
Yeah, I basically did a form of karate that was also called kickboxing. It's called point fighting. It's you actually hit people, but you stop after you make a point and you have kind of gear on your feet and on your hands. So different countries have different names for it. It's both called in the US, it was called sport karate. In Europe, it was called kickboxing. And in the 90s, I became the world champion and I met a few famous martial artists. And it was actually Chuck Norris that said, you should come to the US and come into the movie industry. We need more people like you. He didn't do that just with me. He did this with many, many different martial artists, like the Machado brothers, who are famous Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys. And he sponsored my green card, as he did for, you know, so many young martial artists. And that's how I landed in the US and became a stunt woman first.
Is there a difference between the way male stunt performers are treated and female stunt performers?
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge difference, and which is probably the reason, you know, I didn't last very long because, and I don't think the general public really knows about it. But when I tell you this, you probably notice it when the next time you watch a TV show or movie. So the guys, usually the stunt men, they have a lot of gear. They bring like American football players, a whole bag full of like padding that they can put under their clothes so that when they fall down the stairs, you know, they don't even get bruised. But as a female, you know, as a stunt woman, you look at the actress and she comes out of her trailer. She's either in lingerie or she has very tight clothes on. And there's no way you can put on any kind of protective gear beneath clothes because it would be obvious. So it means that every time we fall out of a car, out of, you know, down the stairs, it's always without any protection. And I think after like my third job, I said, yeah, I'm not getting old in this career. That's for sure.
Yeah. Now, is it forbidden for women to wear padding on sets, or is it just because of the clothes they tend to be put into?
So the idea is that when the director and the camera people shoot you from behind, obviously the audience is not supposed to know that the stunt woman is doing the work. It's supposed to be the main character, right? Mm. And if I put on something that kind of sticks out of my skirt or out of my tight shirt, it becomes obvious. It looks weird because just, you know, one frame before, the actress didn't have such a weird bulk under her shirt, you know? So that's why, you know, it's really not possible. It would be too obvious. Nobody comes on set and says, well, obviously you can't wear this, but you look at the actress and, you know, I mean, actresses tend to like look at you sideways if you weigh a few pounds more than them. You know, yeah. They're like, I don't want her stunt doubling me. And so you certainly can't start putting any kind of gear beneath the clothes and make that poor woman look big for like a split second.
Yeah, you know? But very dangerous for the stunt people, though.
Oh, yeah, it's rough. I mean, and, you know, I'm not somebody who, like, whines about, like, tough jobs. Obviously, I was a fighter, but I'm, you know, I was bruised and banged up every time when I had a job. It was never easy. There was never a job that was like, ha, that was, you know, easy money made. It's a really tough job. And I definitely think it's tougher for women precisely because of that. You know, you don't see guys in lingerie falling downstairs, although maybe we should. But, you know,
depends on your movie choices, I imagine.
Exactly. But, you know, it's very rare that you have that. You hear of a stuntman had to double, you know, somebody, a man in boxer shorts, and it was falling out of the car and falling out of this. But watch any movie and you'll see that the actress usually wears very little or something that's very tight.
Mm. So, very wisely, you decided I shouldn't really do this for much longer, and then you pivoted to making movies. Was that
yes.
Was that easy or difficult to break into?
Well, you know, in hindsight, it was probably difficult, but I didn't know at the time. I mean, when you're like 19 or 20, you know, you're not really aware. I certainly wasn't aware of all the obstacles. I just bought a couple of books. I think one was from Robert Rodriguez. The other one was Soderbergh. They kind of talked about how they did it. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to do this. And it so happened that the project that I planned to break into the industry was a 40-minute short film and ended up being nominated for an Oscar. And, you know, it was a good thing because it got me into the door and it got me a big agent. The bad part about it was that I thought it would be forever this easy, and it certainly wasn't. You know, later on, I found out that, you know, there is certainly a healthy amount of sexism in Hollywood, that, you know, you're competing against guys and often they have less credits than you and they book the job and you're not really quite sure what you did wrong in the room other than not being male. So that still definitely happens.
Yeah. And so you've been there for a while and you do have a new movie. What led you to move away from Hollywood and to Ireland?
Well, the movie that's coming out is called Absolute Dominion. And I did that actually during COVID. It was one of those projects that really had to be pushed uphill and then was made during COVID. So it had, you know, and people who are familiar will know this. Like, it was the time we weren't allowed to hire any extras. Everything was fairly empty. But I really, it was kind of one of those projects I always wanted to do. So I'm glad I did it before I left. And the reason I left is because, you know, I've always been, you know, outspoken about Palestine and about my people, you know, and this was, you know, it's really being part of being Palestinian is your struggle, right? You start talking about it. Certainly when I started getting a platform and some followers online. And then, you know, October 7th happened and then the genocide started. And really, it became impossible as an outspoken Palestinian to work in Hollywood. And that was made very clear.
Oh, in what way was it made clear?
Well, I think there was an agent who simply, she was from Libya. She simply wrote hashtag ceasefire. She was immediately demoted. I think she even got fired. Susan Sarandon spoke out at the very beginning. She was fired by her agents. There was a young actress who starred in Scream. She was fired from the sequel when she started. And these were all people who didn't say free Palestine. They simply said ceasefire, you know. Mm. So you could kind of see that. And then I was in chat groups. Because the strike, the writer strike, had happened before, and there were a few chat groups of kind of established writers, directors that I happened to be part of one, and things were getting very heated in there, you know, and it was very clear that there was two sides, and if you're, you know, I mean, there was the side that was definitely, you know, on the Palestinian side and understood the situation, but and they were not themselves Palestinian, but they spoke up for us. And even they were made, it was pretty much made clear to them that, look, none of us will work with you again if this continues. So I ended up leaving that chat group. My agent and my manager never even, you know, replied to my emails or phone calls again. But I did find their names on the famous letters that basically were made by Hollywood that were very pro-Israel. And so, you know, I mean, it really wasn't even subtle. It was very, very clear.
My word. So Absolute Dominion, this is set in 2063. And yes. Is it too simplistic to say that in this movie, martial arts may well save the world?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I mean, it is, you know, at the time, it was an even more far-fetched concept than it is now. Now, when you read the news, especially coming from the US, you almost feel like, wow, this actually isn't that much out there anymore. But at the time, you know, I said, look, we just buy into this concept that a comedian says something silly that goes viral. And, you know, one thing leads to the other. Because the problem I always had with martial arts movies is that they, unlike boxing movies like Rocky, for example, you know, that doesn't need the plot of the brother who got killed and that's why he has to fight. Or, you know, the wife has leukemia and he needs to raise money. Like, we just watch boxing movies because the guy wants a title. That's it. But for some reason with martial arts, that seems to be not allowed. And it always bothered me, but I didn't want to add one of those really kind of cheap, you know, B-movie, you know, context in there that is about, oh, I'm fighting martial arts because I have to raise money. I said, well, what if we put it in the future and we actually give it a little bit of depth? And that's what I tried to do. And really it combined two subjects I'm passionate about. Is one is religion and the other one is martial arts.
And now that you're living in Cork, I assume you're continuing your filmmaking career.
I absolutely love Cork, by the way. I'm like so in love with the Irish people. I think Irish people don't understand is when you're Palestinian and you come here and you see the love on every corner. Like my neighbor has a Palestine flag up there and I was halfway convinced that somebody told him I'd be moving here. And it was like, no, this has been here for 2 years. And it's just lovely. I really have to say that it's such a treat to be in a place where Palestinians are so loved.
Absolute Dominion is available right now on Apple TV and Google. Lexi Alexander, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.